Amen. Anybody here excited about your relationship with Jesus tonight? Glory to God. We serve an awesome God. Welcome, welcome, everybody. We're so glad that you're here in the service. So glad for all who have tuned in. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever said to yourself, after someone has hurt you, that hurts so bad, and I'm going to get them back for what they did to me? Have you ever said to yourself, they shouldn't have done that? They don't know how that hurt me, and I'm going to get my revenge. I'm going to get even with them. That's the last thing I do. Have you ever found yourself lashing back at somebody who lashed out at you? They raised their voice at you, and you raised your voice back at them. Tonight's service, we're talking about a big area. Revenge is what we're talking about tonight. And revenge never sits well on a Christian believer. But it's a part of our culture. And everywhere you go in this culture, somebody's getting revenge. And sometimes it's simple. It's all ugly, but sometimes it's simple, ugly stuff. Ugly can happen at the traffic light. Somebody cuts you off, you're going to cut them off. Ugly can happen at Quick Trip or Walmart. Ugly can happen at the grocery store. Someone didn't treat me right, I'm not going to treat them right. Ugly happens among families. Have you ever heard of something called sibling rivalry? Oftentimes rooted in revenge. It's our subject tonight. Sometimes people say, I don't like my mother-in-law. I don't like my father-in-law. I've had family members show up at family reunions and say, I don't like my mama. I'm not even coming back. I won't come back in the yard. Don't want to see mama. Revenge. It's a part of our culture. People, you do something to somebody, they're going to do it to you. Somebody does something to you, you're going to do it back to them. And on it goes, a cycle of revenge. And if you've ever had those thoughts, those feelings, or maybe recently you've gone through that, maybe today, you may be sitting in your seat, sitting at home, angry at somebody right now, trying to exact revenge. I believe tonight's sermon is going to really help you. The title of this message is The Big Payback: How to Resist Revenge. The Big Payback: How to Resist Revenge. There's a saying in our culture, I don't know how popular it is, but certainly we live by the standard of it in this culture. It is this: that revenge is a dish best served cold. Anybody ever heard that? Yeah. Started in 1841. It's a French novel, Matilda, where that statement is given. Revenge is a dish best served cold. Then, 1969, the novel, The Godfather, it mentions that same phrase in the novel. Revenge is a dish best served cold. 1982, the movie Star Trek, something of Khan. What is it? The Wrath of Khan. Star Trek, The Wrath of Khan. Thank you, Pastor. In the movie is mentioned that phrase, revenge is a dish best served cold. But what does that mean? It means that revenge is best when you plot it carefully. When you don't get your revenge immediately, you wait and plan it. And meticulously think about how you're going to get that person back. Somebody did you wrong, and you plan out an exact, you plan out how you're going to exact revenge on them. That's why revenge is a dish best served cold, that you wait, that you plan it, and then serve it up. Oh, but revenge will hinder you greatly as a believer. And tonight, for a few minutes, we're going to talk about this subject. And if you will, let's go to the Word. We're going to start in Romans chapter 12. I'm going to read verses 14 through 21. I'm reading from New American Standard, Romans 12. 14 through 21. I'm going to read here from the New American Standard. We're talking about revenge. The title of this message is The Big Payback, How to Resist Revenge. Romans 12, 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Now look at verse 17. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Look at verse 19. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Look finally at verse 21. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. I want to feel led to make these three points tonight, talking about revenge, overcoming revenge. And the first point, never pay back evil for evil to anyone. What a huge warning to you and I in the Holy Scriptures. When the word never here flashes like a beacon light. If you were in your car and you saw an orange light or yellow engine light flashing, no doubt it would get your attention. And here in the scripture warning, talking to spirit-filled believers, never do this. Because the impact upon us is so devastating, and the impact upon others is so devastating, and yet it's a part of the culture. Everywhere you look, someone is exacting revenge on somebody else. It's the plot in major movies. It's the motive out in the street. This first point, verse 17, comes from verse 17, directly from verse 17. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. It's interesting. Go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, if you will. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And let's examine this first point. Never pay back evil for evil. Never pay back evil for evil. That's my first point. And now we're going to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15. I want to share this with you from the Passion Translation, if that's okay. Most of my scriptures today are in the New American Standard. But here I want to refer in the next scripture as well. We'll go over to Ephesians 4 after this and Passion Translation there as well. So here, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we're going to read 15, 16, and then 19, if you will. 15, 16, and 19. Are you ready? It says this, resist revenge and make sure that no one pays back evil in place of evil, but always pursue doing what is beautiful to one another and to all the unbelievers. Let joy be your continual feast. That was verse 16. Now, verse 19 says, never restrain or put out the fire of the Holy Spirit. Here, these scriptures are like parallel scriptures. Here in 1 Thessalonians 5, 15, 16, 19, the Bible warning you and I again to resist revenge. It means that revenge is a choice. Resist revenge. And make sure that no one pays back evil for evil. And here the scripture says specifically, don't do it to another believer. And the scripture says, don't do it to an unbeliever. Don't pay back evil for evil to anybody. And verse 19 again said, never restrain or put out the fire of the Holy Spirit. And that is the great joy. 16 said, let joy be your continual feast. 19 said, never restrain or put out the fire of the Holy Spirit. But that's exactly the danger. There are so many pitfalls and hindrances to the New Testament believer when we give way to revenge. And I believe God's warning you and I tonight, don't do it. Don't do that. Don't do it. It's like seeing a poisonous snake. You're walking through the woods and you see a poisonous snake and somebody says, stop, don't go near that. Stay away from that. We got so many Christians today who are just filled, beautiful people, filled with poison. Because someone has hurt them, and I'm not justifying wrong that people do, and when people do things that might hurt you, and I'm not justifying that. That is wrong. But revenge is not the answer to it. And here the scripture warns, 16, let joy be your continual feast. And then 19, never restrain or put out the fire of the Holy Spirit. And that's what people do when they give place to revenge. They put out the fire of the Holy Spirit. And we got so many great Christians walking around today who are not walking in the fire that they were born again with. You knew them before and they were on flame for Christ. And now you see them, sometimes you see people and it's like, some people are like milquetoast Christianity. It's like the fire has gone out. And people have given way again and again and again in small ways, in large ways, to this way of the culture, this wave of the culture to exact revenge. Somebody does something to you, get them back. And as a result, people have lost their joy. And people have lost the fire. Some of the Holy Ghost. The scripture here warns you and I severely to be cautious about it. Another scripture, Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. I'm going to read this to you in the Passion Translation as well. Scripture warning you and I, never pay back evil for evil. This is my first point. Never, never. Warning, Will Robinson. Anybody know what that means? You're old if you know what that means. That don't mean nothing to you, forget it. Warning, stay away from revenge. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27, the Passion Translation, it says this, but don't let the passion of your emotions lead you to sin. Listen now, don't let anger control you or be fuel for revenge. Not for even a day. Don't give the slanderous accuser, the devil, an opportunity to manipulate you. You know what the scripture's saying to you and I? Be careful, because when we give way to revenge, the enemy will try to manipulate and rob us. John 10:10 says he's a thief. We understand that. But the scripture says don't even do it for a little while. Don't even do it for a day. Don't give way to it for a day. Sometimes people have exacted, someone did something to them, they exacted revenge, and now now revenge is, I'm not talking to you anymore. Revenge says, I don't like my mama-in-law, I don't like my daddy-in-law, I ain't talking to you no more. People exact revenge on ex-boyfriends and girlfriends and spouses, and they live in that state of bitterness, growing in a root of bitterness, wondering, where did my joy go? Where did my fire and passion go as a Christian? So often, it's been washed out in the wave of revenge in this culture. The scripture warns you and I, be careful. Don't give the slanderous accuser, the devil, an opportunity to manipulate you. Don't fuel revenge. You know, when there's a fire, what fuels a fire? Oxygen will fuel a fire. And then, you know, of course, any type of accelerant will fuel a fire. Put gas on a fire, and guess what you're going to get? You're going to get a bigger fire. And when revenge becomes a motive, then we fuel the enemy to wreak havoc in our lives. And so the first warning here, don't let the devil rob you. Never pay back evil for evil. It is too expensive. It's just not the right thing to do, and the scripture warns against it. That's the first reason. It's not love. That's the first reason. But it's too expensive. Revenge is a dish that's too expensive for you and I. Oh, I know I'm not going to get many amens tonight, but I'm going to do what the Lord told me to do. Verse 17 was my first point. Never pay back evil for evil. What's your second point tonight, preacher? Verse 19 is where it comes from. Never take your own revenge. The scripture goes on to say, but leave room for the wrath of God. It's written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. In so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. That was Romans 12:19. But the point, my second point is simply this. Never take your own revenge. Here, let's go to the book of Proverbs, if you don't mind. Proverbs 24. Never take your own revenge. Isn't that saying the same thing, preacher? No, it's saying something a little different. What was your first point? Never pay back evil for evil. What's the second point? Never take your own revenge. Where'd you tell us to go? Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24. You sure are asking me a lot of questions tonight. Proverbs 24, I want to read verse 16 and 17. Proverbs 24, verses 16 and 17. 16 says, for a righteous man falls seven times and rises again, but the wicked stumble in a time of calamity. Listen to verse 17. Do not rejoice when your enemy falls. Do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles, or the Lord will see it and be displeased and turn his anger away from him. Can you see what's happening here? Here's a situation where the scripture says about the believer, the follower of God, a righteous man falls seven times and rises again. The wicked stumble in time of calamity. But when the wicked stumble, the scripture warns the righteous, do not rejoice when your enemy falls. Why? Because you'll be trying to exact revenge if you rejoice. Don't rejoice when your enemy falls. Do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles, or the Lord will see it and be displeased and turn his anger away from him. Isn't that interesting? It means this. God's warning us here that, listen, you know, when we listen and obey the scripture, you know what, one of the great blessings of obeying the scripture, of staying away from revenge, one of the great blessings is that God will then turn around and fight your battle. God will say, okay, child of God, you're listening, you're obeying the scripture, you're listening to me, someone's hurt you, you're not going to exact revenge on them, you're going to walk in love. Now, give me the back, give it to me, and I'm going to fight it for you. I'm going to solve it for you. Let me handle it. You just stand back and watch the salvation of the Lord. I'm going to handle this. But while God is handling our business, listen now, while God is handling our business, if he turns around and sees us rejoicing, my enemy has stumbled, my enemy has stumbled, God stops fighting that battle. Now he has to come and correct his child. Now God has to come and correct you and I when we give way to revenge. The scripture says, do not rejoice when your enemy falls. Do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles. The Lord will see it and be displeased. Turn his anger away from him. He'll stop fighting the battle. How many know God will fight your battle? How many have ever had the Lord fight a battle for you? Praise God. I said, God will fight your battle if you turn it over to him. What a lot of people do is they say, God, I want you to fight the battle. And then God says, give it to me. They say, nope. I'm going to hold on to my hurt. I'm going to hold on to my pain. I'm going to get them back. I'm going to stare them down. That's revenge. Somebody said, I'm going to kill them with silence. That's revenge. Somebody said, I'm going to sit on the other side. I'm going to sit on the other side of the church. That's revenge. But God will fight your battle. Bonus scripture. We're in Proverbs 24. Go to Exodus with me. Go to Exodus with me real quick. Over in Exodus 14, verse 24 and 25. I'm talking about God fighting the battle, you know. Exodus, you know, this is when God's delivering the children of Israel. Exodus 14, verse 24 and 25. Listen to this about God fighting the battle. Exodus 14, I'm reading New American Standard. Verse 24 and 25. At the morning watch, the Lord looked down on the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud and brought the army of the Egyptians into confusion. Woo, who did that? The Lord did that. He brought them into confusion. They were a well-trained, well-organized army with the best of equipment. And the first thing the Lord did is he brought them into confusion. Did you see that? And then verse 25, he caused their chariot wheels to swerve. Uh-oh. And he made them drive with difficulty. Uh-oh. So that the Egyptians said, let us flee from Israel, for the Lord is fighting for them against the Egyptians. Even the Egyptians realized God is fighting this battle. We might as well leave them alone. And when you turn things over to the Lord, God knows how to make your enemy leave you alone. And an enemy would have sense of realize God is fighting that girl battle. I better leave her alone. God fighting his battle. I better leave him alone. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. Go back to Proverbs. We were in 24. Go to Proverbs 25. Proverbs 25. We're dealing with this second point, the second point that I'm making. What's that second point, preacher? It comes from Romans 12, 19. Never take your own revenge. This is the point we're making. We're in Proverbs 25 now. Proverbs 25 at verse 21. If your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. Uh-oh. If he's thirsty, give him water to drink. For you will heap burning coals on his head. And the Lord will do what? The Lord will what? He'll reward you. Yeah. You'll get the blessing. You'll inherit the reward of the Lord when you refuse to give in, when you resist the temptation to revenge, to exact revenge. When you walk in love, treat people like Jesus treated them. Follow his footsteps. The scripture says the Lord will reward you. How many want to get the reward? How many want to get the blessing? Yeah, that's all of us. And the scripture says, if your enemy is hungry, give him food. If he's thirsty, give him water. Well, you know, that sounds exactly like what we just read over in the New Testament, Romans chapter 12. That's what we read, you know, starting at verse 19 there. It's the same thing, you know. This scripture is being quoted there in Romans 12. Amen. And so not rejoicing at the enemy. I remember years ago working in business, and the Lord's been so good to me, and to him be the glory, you know. I've shared so many stories with you. I've shared a story with you about how I became a supervisor at Thrifty Car Rentals World Headquarters, another supervisor. I thank God most of the people I've met and worked with were just fantastic people who just loved me and I just loved them. We got along just like peaches and cream. But there was always a few knuckleheads in the group, and I don't know, you know, most of the time just my association with Jesus, I think, you know, with Rhema or Jesus, and Rhema is Jesus, associated with Jesus, so sometimes people didn't like that. And I shared a story recently about another supervisor, but I'm not talking about that tonight. I don't want you to get those stories confused. Now, not my boss. I had just been promoted as a supervisor. Now, my boss, we got along great. Was just a wonderful person. But she had a counterpart, and I didn't know it. It took me a while to realize this guy did not like me at all. Now, he's not my boss. He's my boss's peer. So he doesn't directly supervise me, so I had just limited contact with him. I remember after I got promoted, he wasn't there, and there was all kinds of congratulations in the company. You know, I was just a brand new supervisor managing, you know, a worldwide 800 number, and he hadn't been there. He was off on vacation or something. Anyway, he came back, and he came down the hall. I bumped into him in the hall, and he said, Bill, I heard you got promoted while I was gone. And I fully expected he was going to say, congratulations, man. I'm so happy for you. And he looked dead at me, and he said, if I had been here, you never would have got that promotion. I was shocked. I almost looked at him to see if he wasn't joking. And he said a few choice things, but somebody overheard him, and I didn't realize somebody overheard him. And the person who overheard him was a peer of his, and they reported it up to a vice president. And the next thing I know, And I got a call from a vice president to come up to a vice president's office, and the person says, I understand that this individual did not treat you very well, talked very harshly to you, was very, very mean to you. And I didn't want to say anything. I'd gone home to pray for the person. I'd gone home and I had learned some of these lessons by then. I was learning these lessons, and I already knew, bend your knee, bend your knee. If somebody treats you like that, don't attack, don't lash back. Bend your knee and pray for him. And I had already started praying for him. And I said, Lord, I don't know what problem this man has with me. I just pray you'll bless him, give him wisdom, help him, Lord. Just pray the Lord bless him. And so now I'm in the vice president's office, and she says almost verbatim what he said to me. And then she said, didn't he say that to you? And I said, well, he did, but I'm not worried about that. Then she said this. The Lord is my witness. She said, Bill, we cannot have that at this company. Now here's what we're going to do. You tell me what you want done to him, and that's what we're going to do. So if you want him terminated, we're going to bring him in and terminate him. Is that what you'd like to happen? Because we're just not going to put up with it. It wasn't right for him to do that to you. And whatever you say is what's going to happen now. And so I said, wait a minute. She says, well, we can terminate him right now. Is that what you want? And I said, no. I don't want. She said, well, we can demote him. I said, well, no. I don't want anything to happen to him. I'm good. She said, we're going to do something. You're going to tell us what we're going to do. What is it? I said, a simple apology. A simple apology would suffice for me. I'm good. A simple apology. She said, are you sure you don't want me just to fire him? I said, no. She said, you're sure about it? I said, I'm sure. Just an apology. She shook her head and said, okay. And the next thing I knew, that guy was running down the hall making a beeline for me, and I thought he was going to fall down and kiss my feet. He said, Bill, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, man. Would you please forgive me? I said, man, it's okay. It's okay. I said, of course I forgive you, man. It's all right. He said, man, I was wrong. I never should have treated you like that. I never should have said those things to you. I said, it's okay. Let it go. It's all right. He said, I just want you to know I'm so sorry. I said, man, forget it. I forgive you. Next day, I got a call back to the same vice president's office. You know what she said to me? She said, did he apologize? I said, yes, he did. Yeah, he was good. She said, did he apologize right? Because I'll fire him if it wasn't right. I'll fire him if it wasn't right. I said, no, it was right. It was right. It was more than enough. It was more than a big enough apology. I'm good. The Lord had showed me by then, you're not going to get anywhere exacting revenge on somebody. Can I tell you this? There are plenty of people in this world who are bound and determined to hurt you and I. And I don't care who you are or where you go, somebody somewhere is going to hurt you. And then you're going to have a huge choice to make, whether you are going to obey God's word or get pulled into the wave, into the rip current of the world to exact revenge on them. But my brother and sister, if you do that, you'll blow out the flame of revival in your life. Your passion for Jesus will go. Your joy for the Lord will diminish. If you give way to that, you'll block and hinder the flow of God's blessings in your life. And so the scripture warns you and I. Go back to Romans 12. Romans 12, 19 was my second point. Never take your own revenge. And finally tonight, you say, good, get to the third point. Finish this thing. My third point comes from verse 21. It says, do not be overcome by evil. But I'm really saying never be overcome by evil is my third point. Never be overcome by evil. The scripture here is implying that don't let evil, don't let the culture of evil, don't let what other people do. It's when you see other people exacting revenge, don't let that pull you. Don't you be persuaded by it. It's like Romans 12, 2. Don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Never be overcome by evil. Go with me to Matthew chapter 5. Never be overcome by evil. Matthew chapter 5, if you will. Verse 38 through 48. Matthew chapter 5, verse 38 through 48. Let me read here. Jesus is speaking. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, let him have your coat also. Whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. You've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemy, pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect, means mature, as your heavenly Father is perfect. What's your point here? Don't be overcome by evil. Never be overcome by evil. Yeah, you know, when I read this scripture, passage of scripture as a new believer, I thought, well, man, it looks like the scripture is suggesting that we become just, you know, kind of wimpy, lifeless, walk around life letting people just abuse us and slap us all around and doormat type, you know. But really, when you read the context of what Jesus is saying, if this is not a lesson about being a doormat in the world as a Christian, God's not telling you and I to be doormats as Christians. This is a lesson about how not to take revenge. Someone slaps you, so you get ready to slap them, and God said, oh, no, don't do that. He's saying here, you know, someone wants to take your shirt, give him your coat. What he's saying is don't take revenge on people. There's a way to handle it. Turn it over to God. That second point, the second point that I gave you in that point, look, the Lord says, I'll take revenge. I'll if there's revenge to be taken, I'll get it. If there's something to be done, I'll do it. Your job is to walk in love. Your job is to smile, be sweet, be a blessing, be kind. Kill them with kindness. This culture today, people want to do the same thing. No. Use the reciprocal, what I call the reciprocal. Do the opposite of what the world expects. Somebody wouldn't speak to you, speak to them. Somebody wouldn't smile at you, smile at them. Somebody wouldn't help you, help them anyway. This is a lesson in how not to take revenge. I remember years ago as a college student, got born again, back in Jersey on the campus of Rutgers University. You know, me and my friends, most of the time we were what we called clean when we went to class, you know. We got up, we got dressed every day. We had, you know, New Jersey is in the middle of New York, between New York and Philadelphia. There's a huge garment district in Philadelphia. There's a huge garment district in New York. And so you can get designer clothes just, you know, what we'd call dirt cheap here because you're in the middle of those two garment districts, and we always went to New York to shop or to Philly to shop, you know. And so we was always just in the culture then. We were always clean. I had nice jackets, sweaters, belts, all scarves, all kinds of stuff. That's how we went to class like that. I had a roommate. He was a non-believer. And the only thing he liked about me was the way I dressed. He loved my clothes. He couldn't stand it when I started talking about Christ. One day I was out on campus. I'm coming from a Bible study. It's late, you know. It's around 10 o'clock night. And he's coming from a party. He got on my burgundy suede jacket. I know that don't sound like nothing to you sitting there. But man, that jacket was something else back in the day. You know, and I was kind of proud of that thing. And he had it on, going from party to party with my jacket on. Showed up with a bunch of his friends. Man, I almost knocked him out on the street. he could see it, and he knew he was busted, and he was talking all, how you doing? How was Bible study? And I was looking at my jacket. Long story short, I went back to the room because I was going to disobey every Christian principle I had learned. And I was going to knock that joker out. And I was just waiting for him to get back to the room when the Holy Ghost got a hold of me. And the Holy Ghost convicted me. You talk about putting hot coals on your conscience. And I repented. And the Lord showed me, of course he was wrong for taking my jacket without asking me, but I was wrong in my attitude, being willing to fight over something like that. And the Lord showed me these things that moth and rust corrupt are so important to you. And so I just repented, you know. And by the time he came back, I said, dude, you know, he said, wait, let me just, I said, hold on, man. I said, my attitude is wrong, and you were wrong for wearing my clothes. But there's a couple of my jackets or something. If you want to wear them, I'll give you some guidelines. You can wear them with guidelines. And he said, man, you talk about hot coals. He said, man, I don't understand this. He said, I don't understand this. Here I did you wrong, and you shown kindness to me. He said, man, I'm wrong. I'm in the wrong here. What can I do? I said, there is one thing you can do for me. He said, what is that? I said, come to Bible study. He said, oh, man. And he came to Bible study. Did he get saved? I wish I could tell you he got saved then. He didn't. But he did come. He did listen. We talked about it. I explained the gospel fully. Don't try to get your own revenge, my friend. I know we're out of time tonight. There's a powerful lesson that Joseph taught us. He became prime minister in Genesis 41:41. But in Genesis 50, verse 20, he told his brothers, I'm not in God's place. What you intended to harm me, God turned around for my good. Go over to the book of Job. Satan attacked him, stole everything he had. But in Job 42, around verse 10, Job had to pray for his friends. His friends were ungodly. They gave him bad advice, poor advice. To be known as Job's comforters is a bad thing. But Job had to pray for all of his ungodly friends. And when he did, God doubled what he had. The scripture reminds you and I over and over again not to exact revenge. Acts 7:60, we learn it from Stephen as they were stoning him. Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. The big payback, how to resist revenge. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your goodness and grace tonight. As we've shared the word tonight, Father, we know that the application is different for every single one of us. But now we have the mighty Holy Ghost. And so help us to have the appropriate application to this message. May this message, Father God, not be ignored. But we pray people will pay attention, will listen, will repent where necessary, and then get on board listening to you and following you. In Jesus' name, help your people. Amen. Hey, if you need something from the Lord tonight, you want to be saved, you want to be filled with the Spirit, you want somebody to pray with you, you've been dealing with revenge in an area and you want somebody to pray with you, that's what these good folks are for. These anointed women and these anointed guys over here, if you're a guy, come to the guys. If you're a gal, come to the gals. When we leave, you won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. We wish you a good week. The rest of it, be right here Sunday morning. Gonna be exciting, action-packed, powerful word from God. 9 o'clock in that School of the Bible Hour, then 10 o'clock right here Sunday morning. We love you. Don't give way to revenge. God bless you.